This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
It's a pleasure to be with you today on Getting to Know Your Bible. I want to ask you a question. I want you to really think about this. What's the one thing that you're most concerned about? Well, someone might say, Brother Lambert, I'm really concerned about our economy. I'm concerned about the threat that we have from outside our nation today. All of those things concern me. And those are legitimate concerns. But the one thing that I believe is of concern to most people today is their family. I've often said that, well, given the world conditions, I'm not concerned about myself. But I am concerned about my children. I am concerned about my grandchildren. What's going to be the future for them? So today we want to talk about the one thing that I believe most of us have in common, and that is a concern for our family. All right-thinking people, sane-thinking people, want the very best for their family. And so let's think about that today. Now stay tuned as we discuss God's perspective, God's viewpoint on the family. Now today we offer a free Bible correspondence course, and I emphasize the course is free. And in order that you might know more about the course, how you can receive the course free, let's pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
Okay, today we're going to continue our study of out of the Psalms. For the last several programs, we have been picking out some passages and chapters out of the book of Psalms for our study. And today we're going to be looking at another of those Psalms, and that's the 127th chapter. Listen carefully while I read. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. His arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. In recent years, and even today, we hear people talking about family values. Family values. We hear people talking about that in the political arena. We hear people discussing that in the media. And it appears that everyone has their own take on it. They have their own viewpoint about what family is and the values of a family. And preachers are not going to be left out. You hear preachers talking about family values. But what I would like for us to do today is to look at the family, not from our perspective and not how we feel about the family, but God's point of view. I think that's the most important thing for us to consider, don't you? And I would give you some reasons why I think we ought to be more concerned about how God feels about anything than a man. We ought to be concerned about God's viewpoint about the family, especially as we discuss that today. One reason is because God is the one who created the home. Why, in the very beginning of time, God saw that it was not good for the man to be alone. And so God created a companion for the man, one that was suitable for him, a helpmeet. And so God saw that a man needed a wife. And so he took a rib from the side of the man. And from that rib, God made the woman. And when the woman was given to the man, he said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, or cleave unto his wife, and the two of them shall be one flesh. God created the home in the very beginning of time. And there were some purposes for it, and one of those reasons that God created the home was for the benefit of mankind. But when we think about the fact that God has a viewpoint on the home, it ought to concern us as to what does God think about it. What does God think about it? And what we're going to discuss in our telecast today is God's point of view about our families. I suggest another reason we ought to be concerned about God's viewpoint is God's so much smarter than we are. Now, I know there are a lot of people who think that they are the epitome of intelligence, that they are at the top of the heap, that no one is as intelligent, no one is as smart as they are. But God knows more, and God is more intelligent than any human being. All of us combined cannot, with all of our intelligence combined, could not compare with God. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways. God is so vastly superior to man, we ought to be listening to what he has to say about any subject. But we're listening to him today about the home. Another reason I'd suggest that we ought to be concerned about God's viewpoint is because one day I'm going to have to stand before him, and I'll have to give an account to God of how I've conducted myself in the home. And so that's a serious thought. So what does God think about it? About family values, for example. I know there are different ideas that people have about family values, but I might ask, what is a value? Well, a value is something we deem that is important, that's a priority in our lives. And so when we think about family values, how do we determine a family value? Now, there are two ways that family values are determined. And those two ways have created a divide in our nation and in our world. On the one hand, unbelievers determine their values by self. And that's not a new practice. As a matter of fact, it's been around a long, long time. In the book of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25, there the Bible says of the people in that day, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In other words, it was what he thought in his own heart is what he did. He thought that he was the standard of what was right and what was wrong, or standard of conduct. And people today are still practicing that method of determining what a value is. But what about the believers of the world? Well, what about people that believe in God and believe the Bible to be the inerrant Word of God? Well, how do we determine values? Well, the Bible says that our values are determined by the Bible. You see, I don't have to wonder what my values are, because God has already specified those values in this book called the Bible. In Matthew chapter 4 and 4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so the Bible is that which feeds my soul. And I need to follow the teaching of this book, because it's a lamp to my feet, it's a light to my path. Psalms 119, verse 105. And when men and women reject the light, it puts them in darkness. In Isaiah 8 and 20, the prophet said to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. You see, a nation that rejects the Bible is in darkness. A home that rejects the Bible is in darkness. An individual that rejects the Bible is in darkness. You see, our values are determined by the Bible, by God's Word. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, I want you to listen to what Paul said about the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. See, the Bible teaches us how to live. It is the instruction that we get from the Bible that teaches us how to live. If I want to know how to conduct myself in the home, I get that instruction from the Word of the living God. So here's how we determine our values. Our values are already determined for us. I don't have to wonder whether or not I ought to believe in God, because the book already tells me I should believe in God. That's already fixed. That's already determined. Yes, I should. That is, if I want to please God, Hebrews 11 and 6. I don't have to wonder whether I should obey God, because that has already been determined in the Bible, Matthew 7 and 21. Only those that obey the Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, that's already fixed. I don't have to wonder whether or not I should be baptized, because that's already been determined in the Word of God, because the Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. So I know that when I repent of my sins and I'm baptized, that I will receive the remission of my sins. That's already fixed and determined in the Bible. I don't have to determine whether I should worship God on the Lord's Day, because that's already determined for me in the Bible. That ought to be my value in my life, something important in my life. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him, in spirit and in truth. So that's a value that's already been determined. And when I think about the home, and how I ought to conduct myself in the home, I don't have to wonder, well, now what should I be doing? Because God has already instructed me in His book as to what I ought to be doing. Now, I'm aware of the fact that there have been changes in the home today. That there have been changes, and there are people that have tried to redefine what a family really is. And they talk about different kinds of families today. And they redefine the family. And we have people that are redefining it because of same-sex marriage. They redefine it because of cohabitation. People just living together without the benefit of marriage. And so we have this shift, they have this change today that people are making about the home. But my question is this, does that make it so? Just suppose the federal government should decide that we don't need to eat as much as we do. Now, it may be the case that we don't need to, but just suppose the government were to decide that, you know, we don't particularly like people telling us how much we should do this or that or the other, that is, especially how much we ought to be eating. But suppose that they were to say, we're going to change your daily nutritional requirements. And so you're not supposed to eat as much as you have been eating. And suppose a person hasn't been eating very much and they see these requirements of the government and they stop eating less and they go to bed hungry every night. The fact that they change the rules on the governmental level doesn't mean that you just still don't have the need for more food to eat or have a desire for more food to eat. And the fact that people have redefined marriage to suit themselves, to please themselves and to make themselves happy, doesn't mean that God is happy about it, and it doesn't mean that God has chosen to redefine marriage and to redefine what a home is to suit man. Friends, God's law is unalterable. It does not change. In Psalms 119 in verse 89, Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. And God's word is settled in heaven on every subject, not just this subject. On the subject of, for example, the subject of telling the truth, there will never be a time that God will approve of lying. Why is that? Because God said, don't lie. He has commanded that we be honest and truthful and not lie. And that is fixed and that is settled in heaven. You can't change it. You may reject it. You may deny it. You may pretend that God never said it, but that doesn't change it. And when God tells us what a home is, we can't change it. We may deny it. We may reject it. We may try to go around it. We may try to make it to suit ourselves. But that doesn't mean that God's word is not still settled in heaven. So how does God look at a home? I know how people look at it today. And they say, well, you know, I just believe God understands my heart. I just believe God knows how I feel. Why are you trying to play God, and why are we trying to assume that we know what God's thinking? You see, that's what you're doing when you reason that way. Now, I want to know from the Bible point of view, how does God view the family? How does God view the home? Well, I know that we read earlier from Genesis chapter 2, that God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And I know why God created that home. One of the reasons that God created the home was the prevention of loneliness. He created the home for companionship. There I know of people who have lost their spouse. Several women lately that with whom my wife and I are acquainted have lost their husbands. And they're very lonely because they don't have that companionship any longer. And they wonder, how will I go on without him? You see, in the very beginning, God saw that it was not good for a man to be alone. And so he created a companion suitable for the man. And he gave the man a wife. He gave him a wife. A man and a woman composed the first family. Now that's how God sees it. And he gave it for the prevention of loneliness. But another reason that God created the home was for the propagation of the race. To that, in Genesis chapter 9, the Lord said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. It's for the creating of children. And let me say this about children and the birth of children. It is such a common thing nowadays for children to be born out of wedlock, to be born outside of marriage, to be born, to be conceived in a relationship where the couple is not married. God calls that sin. God calls it fornication. And fornication is a sin that can be forgiven if we repent of it. And maybe you've found yourself in that cobweb of sin. I want you to know that Jesus will forgive you, that God will forgive you if you believe on Christ and repent of your sins. And when we repent of sin, that means that we cease committing that sin. And then as a believer in Jesus, we are to be baptized and our sins can be washed away, whatever sin it may be. And if we've rejected God's law of marriage and we've been conceiving children outside the institution of marriage, then we can be forgiven. God is willing to forgive us. And so God created the home to prevent sin and to bring children into this world for the propagation of the race. And that I would urge you to wait until marriage. I would urge all young people to wait until marriage. I might be speaking to some today that are in the millennial group. And I don't want to urge you to wait until marriage. And you will never regret it. You will never regret it. And I know that that's frowned upon, that's scorned, that's mocked today to suggest that you ought to wait until marriage. But friend, we're talking about how God sees it. We're talking about the way that God created the home and the purpose for which God created it. And another reason God made the home is to prevent sin. In 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and the first couple of passages in that chapter, Paul said, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every wife her own husband. One man for one woman for life." We're bound by our vows to one another for life. And the only thing that should break that bond is death itself. Death itself. Now, in Matthew chapter 19 and verses 1 through 9, where the Lord talked about adultery, the only exception that God has ever given for that to break that bond is unfaithfulness on the part of one that is in that relationship. So God has a purpose for the home. And I want us to think about God's viewpoint on it, because God values the home. And He created this home to be patriarchal in government. If someone says, well, what does that mean, patriarchal in government? Well, a patriarch is just a father. And the first home was ruled by Adam. He was the patriarch in that family. Eve was told, your desire shall be to your husband, and he'll rule over you. And that word rule just excites some people today when you talk about somebody ruling over them. Well, we're not talking about ruling like a lord and master. We're talking about a person that's the leader. There has to be a leader in the home. There's a leader, somebody in charge of a bank, somebody in charge of a grocery store, someone in charge of a school. And it'd be the principal or the president of that institution. And it has to be someone who's the leader in a home. The husband is the head of the wife, just like Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Ephesians 5, 22 to 25. And so there's a leader in the home. And it's the father, the husband in that home, is to assume the leadership. I'm aware that in these days there are many men who are absent fathers. And some are absent because they have left the home. And then there are some fathers that go off to work. They come home after working all day. And for all practical purposes, they're just as absent as though they never came home, because they just come home and have no interaction whatsoever with their wife or their children. You see, we need men today who will stand up and really be the leader in the home today. And so many of the problems that we have youth in some cities across the land and some areas across the land, it is because they're lacking male leadership in their lives. And we need men to be real men. And a real man assumes responsibility. Oh, I know that's something a lot of people don't want to do, because they want to blame their actions on others. But I'd like to say to every man that has been responsible for bringing a child into the world, you have a responsibility to that child. You have a responsibility to help supply the needs of that child. I've known of women who struggled because they married a man who was shabby material when they married him. It's very difficult to take a rotten piece of timber and to build a good house out of it. And they married a rotten piece of timber. He was no good. And when the children were born, he decided he wanted to go somewhere else and find him another woman. And as a result of that, the woman suffered, the children suffered. If you want to be a real man, I mean a real man, start assuming your responsibility in the home. and supply the needs of your family, and not only that, lead your family spiritually. You know, we need men like Joshua. Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." Can you say that today? "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." The very first passage of the 127th Psalm says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." There are homes today where God is not welcome. There are homes today where Jesus is not welcome. There are homes today where the Bible is not seen. Is it any wonder they have problems in those kinds of families? Oh, we need God in our homes today to guide us, to protect us, to lead us, to bless us, to love us, to care for us. And I want to urge every man to be a real man, to lead his family, to lead his home. And that means that you start by getting down on your knees and asking God to forgive you for not being the kind of a man that you ought to be. Get down on your knees and ask God to give you wisdom and guidance as you try to lead your family. Give your life to Christ today. Believe on Him with all your heart. Repent of your sins and then have some servant of God baptize you for the remission of your sins. I want to thank you for watching today. And in the closing moments, may I urge you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. If you're not certain where it's located, why don't you get in touch with us? We'll help you find it. And also, pick up the telephone right now. Call for the Bible Correspondence Course. Or if you prefer, you may take it online. I want to thank you for watching today. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
We want to help you as much as possible in your search for a personal relationship with God. You can now easily access our free Bible Correspondence Course online at gettingtoknowyourbible.org. If there's any way we can help you grow closer to God, please email us at knowyourbible@golftel.com or call us anytime at 1-877-711-5214. Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.